This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from BFM 89.9. I'm Meera Sivasudhi. Now, after 8 years on the air, we're bringing the Bigger Pictures Health and Living to you, live, on the ground. A whole day with the experts, debunking myths behind heart disease and diabetes, addressing our love affair with food. Of course, George will be there talking about sperm. So join us at BFM's Health and Living Live 2016 on Saturday, 2nd of April. Go on and register at bfm.my/health.
BFM 89.9, the business station. It is that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
I'm Kwa Jen Han.
And joining us in the studio is theatre legend Mano Maniam. Hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you?
Wow, that voice.
Oh. When you use the word legend, I'm trying to push my. It isn't that long ago.
No, legend just means somebody who's done great things.
Yeah, you can be a young legend as
well.
Yeah.
Right. What have you been up to lately?
Trying not to be up to anything, actually. That's my New Year's goal this year.
Sounds perfect.
I failed the first couple of days and I got wrapped into this and pulled into that. And you promised this. And suddenly all these the kind of things came in and just took my schedule away. And then I find myself in March and saying, wait a minute, where did January and February
go?
Right.
Yeah. You two know each other already as well, right?
We do.
How did that come around?
Well, 2 years ago, I had a solo show called Bad Boy. I was playing a character called Bad Boy, mm-hmm. and it was called Good, Bad, Nasty, and Mano provided the voice.
I was the voice.
You was the
bad voice.
That's a good voice, that, right?
It is a good voice. I couldn't follow the voice. The show wasn't good.
It wasn't good?
Yeah, but Mano's voice was great.
Right. Folks, we have a giveaway this evening, as we do every evening, of course. Remember this telephone number, 016-201-9000. We'll tell you what the giveaway is during the advertisements. Also, if you want to get in touch, we are on Twitter at BFM Radio or at BFM TTON. Now, Mano, I don't know where to start because I have this huge cheat sheet of things, of your achievements, things that you've done, things that you've been, you know. And we talk about Kopitiam and we talk about Colombo and all kinds of things. But let's rewind very briefly and how you got started in theatre and the arts. I'm interested to know that story.
Okay, it's very simple, really. I come from a school called the Anglo-Chinese School, or ACS, in Ipoh. It's like a chain school all over the country. And they had a tradition which went all the way back to 1906, when a certain Dr. Prepstall, who was the principal at that time, introduced a school play, which was also the text for the O-levels. You know?
Right.
And that became a tradition. And so ACS Ipoh came to be known after a few years, maybe in the 20s, 30s, and definitely by the time after the Second World War. And everybody looked for that play which ACS will put on, and inevitably in the city of Ipoh, or the town of Ipoh at that time, it was the only place where there was a school concert, a full-length Shakespeare play, or whatever that play would be, Bernard Shaw or whatever. And they created this tradition which attracted also talents from elsewhere, not just students and teachers of the school.
Right. Mm.
And that then it became what is literally a community theater. And we're talking of a community of the third largest city in the whole of Peninsula. So you had a large base of people who would want to come and join in. And so the tradition lived on and beyond just being a school play.
Right.
And in some years, I remember one particular year, where you had four productions for a whole year. Remember, the school is going on, there all the other activities are going on, but you have the drama society and the teachers and students involved. Putting on four plays, which will include a musical, a Shakespeare, a contemporary, and maybe something which is locally written.
Wow. Oh, that's awesome. Like, how many plays were you in when you were there?
I haven't made a count. I started in 1961 and probably, let's say about two a year. And
two a year?
Three a year. There was 1 year, there were four a year. Two years then, there were four plays a year, and I was in all four.
Are these plays still going on today?
They'll have one annual play, but the people who are responsible for that kind of situation in the 60s, 70s have largely gone.
Mm. Yeah, I went to this high school, right? Mm-hmm. Secondary school. My secondary school years were like in the 2000s, and there was no drama. Or I was from Methodist boys' school, Kuala Lumpur.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and like we were strong in literature, English literature, but we had no school plays and stuff. So that's actually how I started doing performance as well in school. Right. I would put on shows during like Teachers' Day or Celebrations Day or like any Retirements Day. I would just write sketches and perform them.
Yeah, yeah. Which I think is actually, in the long run, a lot more creative than putting on the standard plays, you know.
Okay, let's take a short break, though, but hold on to that thought. We'll be right back with those thoughts in a minute. You're listening to That Time of Night on BFM 89.9. We have to take a short break for some ads, but we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. BFM 89.9 at the Business Station. It is That Time of Night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
I'm Kua Jin Han.
And Mano Manian.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a giveaway this evening, 016-201-9000. If you want to take part, you can hear in the advertisements what we're giving away. Just listen to that. Give us your full name, your IC, and why you deserve to win. So just before the break then, we were talking about how these school traditions of having plays. What do you think about theatre in education nowadays in the local schools? Is there enough of it, do you think?
Not enough of it, but there have been concerns about that for a long, long time. When I was a teacher in the 60s, 70s, that this thing became a big deal, and the Ministry of Education wanted to have at least one teacher who's sort of versed, not necessarily well-versed, but you know, who could be the anchor to get plays going for the students. Mm. And I don't think that they have actually accomplished that, because first of all, you got to have a progenitor, you know, as someone who has got that, can plant that seed and take it. And there are so many things involved. There is performance, there is selection of play, there is training, and there is finally the production.
In my time in school, the 2000s, like, we had a different problem. Like, we didn't even go as far as to, can we have a performance arts course? Because we were in the midst of deciding whether our subject should be in English or Malay.
Right.
That was the problem for
me. Right, right. I mean, I can tell you from personal experience, you know, and I've said this to people, you know, actors and theatre practitioners that we've had in before. Performing arts for me totally changed my life, totally. You know, I had a speech impediment, I had no confidence, no nothing like that. And I was studying to be a biochemist and work in the science field. But then it was just one of those moments that one day I thought, well, I want to challenge myself and do something different, and got into performing arts. And it genuinely altered the way in which I looked at life. You know, and I think that people need to experience that, you know, they need to be brought up with that kind of approach. I mean, I didn't have it in school enough. I mean, there was little bits and pieces. You had your Christmas play and maybe your Easter play, but there was nothing like, you know, doing a Shakespeare piece or anything like that.
Yeah, we actually had to study Macbeth in school for literature.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, Mano, in your school, back then there was, I'm sure there was like science stream and art stream, right? Well, was it like, were naturally the smart students in the science stream, or were you free to choose?
You're free to choose.
You're free to choose.
Well, you get streamed in. The ones who collect all the maximum number of A distinctions in Form 3, they go into the sciences.
Yeah.
And the rest, good, bad and ugly, get into the
art stream.
Get into the art stream. But one can have enough grades or enough accomplishment to get into either one of them.
Right. So in during my time, it's the same, where the smart student or the better performing students like get streamed into science immediately, and like the good, bad and ugly are in the arts, right? You can change from a science to an art stream, but it's very difficult or almost impossible to change from an art stream to a science stream student.
Because they assume that's what you want to do
and
you should be doing.
And you know what?
No, more than just that. That there was a need, there was a national need to have more science, technology-based people, if not. You're going to get a lot of arts-based chaps with very few people in the...
But a Malaysia full of Mano Manium, isn't that fantastic?
That would have been wonderful.
Yeah.
No.
But the strange thing in my school was that English in literature, a separate subject, was only offered to the best science class.
Really?
Yeah, and I was good at literature. I was been performing in school, doing sketches, that I was in a not-so-good class, but I was the teacher fought for me to be in the best science class just so I could take literature.
What?
Isn't that odd?
How are those two linked?
Wow. I don't know
how progressive the teacher is. Yeah, actually,
Her name is Mrs. Ramani. She's my neighbor.
Still now?
Not now. Like I've moved house, but she lives in a place called Happy Garden.
Right.
Oh, what a happy person.
Yeah.
So Mano, let's talk about some of the bigger roles that you've done, or some of the bigger characters that you've taken on.
Well, I'm very excited to talk about Anna and the King. Actually,
go on then. You go first.
Like Anna and the King was shot in Ipoh, was it?
Largely in Ipoh and Langkawi.
Mm. What was the experience like working for Anna and the King?
It increased and broadened my whole vision about the production area.
Yeah. I
mean, this is not my first film though. Mm-hmm. So having been in a few other films, both international and local, so it is a matter of scale, scope, and films are actually very much a director's thing.
Mm. Yeah.
As opposite to stage, which is an actor's forte. And so in film, the director, the fascination about how this one man can control so much, he has to know so much, not just text and how you get the acting out from the text, but it is positioning, cost, and a whole bunch of things which go into it, that the person becomes a supremo. In the sense that, you'll know how much what will cost and what you can price and where it should be launched. And you're talking in terms of final production, and here you're still at the abstraction as to how do you interpret this play.
Right.
Yeah.
So you meet a lot more logistics. And coming back to Anne and the King, and one of the earliest realizations was that there are 70 departments.
What?
Like costumes will be one. Makeup will be one.
Yeah.
And then armory would be one, and so on. Animals will be one department. But think in terms of 70 departments.
Yeah.
And some of them are very large departments, and they could have something like about 100 people working for that.
It's an incredibly large production. One,
yeah.
Right?
Like landscaping.
Landscaping, and like apparently, like even when it comes to greeneries or trees or anything that's plant-based, like there is a specific department?
Yeah. They have a very large budget and a large crew also, because you have to work with the local authorities. And
How is that? Things are difficult to get things done here, most of the time. I mean, when you have... But money talks, right?
Well, yes, but the difficulty will be largely based on A, bureaucracy.
Yeah.
B, ignorance. C, people just don't know enough to want to contribute, and it's easier for them to say no than to say yes and do something more about it. So we face that all the time. So there has to be inducements, coaxing, and the usual traditional way doesn't work in Malaysia. You'll have your name up in the credits. Yeah, right. Mr. Tan Ah Seng, who doesn't even speak one word of English, he's going to be very happy that he's going to be one of 500 people's names there.
And most people don't sit at the end anyway to watch the credits anyway. So
Unless you've got a friend in it.
Unless you've got a friend in it. He's like,
Mr. Tan, that's your name.
Sit, my name's up there. Sit, don't go anywhere. Okay, so... Now, from what I understand, you've been teaching, you taught at KLPAC as well, right?
Yeah, I was also teaching theatre, acting in about three universities during that time.
Now, what kind of approach do you have when it comes to teaching? I had a lecturer when he taught. He was very much a hands-on kind of guy. It wasn't so much here's a bunch of plays I'd like you to go and read, and come back to me with your thoughts on them. It was about he would give me four or five paragraphs from a play and go interpret it yourself, and then he would kind of manipulate a little bit until you learned yourself almost. Do you see what I mean by that?
It was more like that.
Right.
Actually, acting cannot be taught.
Right.
No matter what people say.
Yeah.
You can guide, you can give a feedback, you can say where there was an access or not enough, timing, things like that. The outsider, maybe the director, would be able to help.
Yeah.
But in interpretation and just innate, the way you want to present it, directors are very minimal in terms of their influence on an actor on that. And usually it's, if it is stage, it is an actor's domain.
Yeah.
It's a film, it's a director's domain, so you act accordingly.
I mean, I remember I was on a two-year course at the time, and for my first year, I felt myself that I was awful, right? And the feedback that I was getting was like, bit more work, you know. And then over the summer, I went to see Derek Jacobi perform in King Lear, outside at a castle in Ludlow, in like the suburbs of the UK, you know, this gorgeous outdoor theatre setting. And then something just clicked in my head, having seen him on stage there. And then I went back that following semester, and it was like a totally different world, you know. I felt as if I'd been injected by something almost. Where does that come from?
Where does that come from? It is the you in you.
Yeah.
You know, it goes beyond the ego, you know. The person behind the person gets touched.
Right.
And then you don't know who that person is or where that person resides or why or how.
Right.
And that's the person speaking. And so you have this thing, I don't know why I'm here, but, you know, something inside me tells me that I should be here at this rehearsal or this audition or, you know. People do that. And you see people traveling huge distances, taking a lot of time, putting a lot of money and effort just to be one of several people standing in line to audition for a role.
I kind of understand what you mean. It's like you watch a lot of performances and only some you feel like you are there.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean when like the person behind the person?
Yeah.
Right. Like that's, I don't know, it feels very raw. Like
it did. I mean, I was completely mesmerized. And I mean, I think half of it is because of the setting that it was in, first and foremost. It's in a glorious old castle, you know. Yeah. But it was Derek Jacobi. It was the middle of summer. And I was just like, my head was just spinning, you know. Incredible stuff. Right, we have to take a short break. We've gone over time, unfortunately, but don't worry about that. We have a giveaway, 016-201-9000. Don't forget to include your full name, your IC, and why you deserve to win. We'll be back with more Mano in a few minutes. And of course, Mr. Jen Han over there, you've been quite quiet today.
Yeah, I'm just so captivated by Mano's voice.
It's brilliant. Yeah. Don't go anywhere, folks. We'll be right back after these messages. BFM 89.9, the business station. It is that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
I'm Kwa Jen Han.
And I'm Mano Maniam.
Mano Maniam is with us. Go on.
Yeah, what's that? Sorry, Rich.
No, I was waiting for you to go. Oh, his voice.
His voice. No, we ran a bit over time just now.
Yeah, we did.
And the person behind me was just too captivated by Mano's presence.
Anyway, ladies and gents, we have a giveaway as we do every evening. 016-201-9000. That's the number to remember if you want to take part. Give us your answer along with your full name, your IC, and why you deserve to win. Interesting stories coming up now on News from Page 2.
Extra, extra, Peter! What's all the shouting?
Come on then, Jen Han.
All right. So just now we got into a bit of a very deep discussion, involved. Let's take it a bit something lighter.
Okay.
Like a strange piece of news.
Go on then.
And this one is about a pair of twins in Vietnam that have found out to have different fathers after a DNA test.
What?
Okay, I repeat. Twins having different fathers.
So this indicates and then the mother was...
Okay, yes. And the mother, very unfortunately, is named Ho Bin.
Oh, please.
Okay, so these babies came out and like one had straight, like thin straight hair. And another twin had curly hair. So they're like, what's wrong with my baby? They thought they were given the wrong babies.
Which happens.
Yeah. So they carried out a test at the Hanoi Center for Genetic Analysis and the first thing they proved was, yep, it's from the same mother. Right? And then they tested the father and like, he was only a father of one of the twin. A father of one of the twin. And this is called bipaternal twins.
Right.
And this is the first recorded case in Vietnam.
Very rare, right?
Very rare.
I'm just trying to imagine the reaction of the father.
Or anyone else.
Right. I mean, I look at my family, and my brother is very pale and has bright red hair, right? Yep. My hair is dark, obviously, and I remember my mum joking, you know, oh, you're the milkman's. You know, that would be the joke when I was a kid.
That's not very nice.
It's not very nice.
No, I used to be told I was found at the KFC at Kuchai Lama.
At the KFC?
Yeah, and I actually believed it to a certain extent. I'm like, maybe.
So has there been any reaction from the father on this? Or?
No reaction. But the explanation, I'm sure a lot of people are wondering, like, how can this happen right now?
Yeah.
It's because the woman's egg can live from 12 to 48 hours. And a male sperm lives from like 7 to 10 days.
Right.
So it would have been an overlap during that time. Oh. Yeah, so it would have been a very short span of time.
Oh.
12 to 48 hours.
Oh, that makes it even worse.
Yeah.
Naughty. Keeping with biology.
Yes.
And all things to do with division, if you like. Moon jellyfish, have you heard of these?
No.
They
sound yummy, though.
Right, they didn't.
Like moon jellyfish.
They have the ability to age backwards, like a kind of Benjamin Button kind of idea.
Wow.
Right? So this discovery was made by a graduate student at Xiamen University,
yes,
who raised a baby male moon jellyfish that he picked up from the ocean, and it died. Mm-hmm. And so what he did, he put the dead jellyfish into a new tank, and noticed that a polyp grew on the specimen just a little while later. And so what he realized was that it was kind of like a butterfly wing sprouting a caterpillar. Mm. Right? Make sense?
Yes.
All right. So most jellyfish start life as buds, like a polyps on the ocean floor or on the coral reef. But the creation of a polyp this way had never been seen before, you know, because obviously it's dead.
Yeah.
So it was later discovered that injured adult jellyfish move to the bottom of the ocean floor where they can transform back into their infant state and grow again.
Oh, wow.
Right.
So it actually starts from a baby jellyfish, like a small, and then it grows into an adult, and then it can grow young again?
Correct. When it gets to a certain age, or when it dies, it can then go backwards. So there's been a lot of research into... there was another jellyfish. What was that one called? Choritopsis dornii, which is known as the immortal jellyfish. It's been shown to be able to revert it to its youthful stage as and when it wants. But this, the interesting thing about this particular jellyfish, this moon jellyfish, is that they are shaped kind of like a star.
Yes.
Right? And if it loses one of those legs,
yeah,
it loses another leg on purpose to maintain symmetry. Because being a jellyfish, you have to be symmetrical so you can swim.
Right. I thought it was just like a vain jellyfish.
Right, no. Really kind of weird. I love the idea of this. Yeah. You know.
So now we have two species of jellyfishes that can like be immortal?
Be immortal, yeah.
Wow.
So some crazy stuff going on the ocean floor.
Definitely.
Right? Yeah?
Yeah, that's the last frontier which we haven't gone to.
No. Right. Smarty Pants, are you ready for that?
Oh.
Yeah, I can see clearly he is. Clearly he is ready for it. It sounds a little bit like this.
Smarty Pants.
Come on then, Mano. We're kicking it up a notch or two. So the idea is it's a general knowledge quiz.
Mm-hmm.
You have 3 minutes to answer as many of the 30 questions as you can. If you don't know the answer, just say skip and we move right along.
Okay.
Your 3 minutes start now. Which style of performance does not utilize a script? Improvisation or straight plays?
Improvisation.
How many moons does the planet Mars have? 0 or 2?
2.
Which car manufacturer has the motto, "The power of dreams"?
Honda.
In which country was U.S. politician Henry Kissinger born? Poland or Germany?
Germany.
Ophidian relates to which creature, crocodiles or snakes?
Crocodiles.
It's snakes. It should have gone with your first one, yeah. Which French cabaret theatre has a windmill on its roof? The Nouveau Casino or the Moulin Rouge?
Moulin Rouge.
Which country hosted the 2015 FIFA World Cup? Was it Japan or Brazil?
Brazil.
Which writer said, bigamy is having one wife too many, monogamy is the same? Kurt Vonnegut or Oscar Wilde?
Oscar Wilde.
Who is the lead actor in all of the Die Hard series?
The Die Hard series. God, his name is skipping me. The ball guy, you know?
Yippee-ki-yay.
Bruce
Willis.
There we go. Saltwater taffy is a type of confectionery most famous in which U.S. state? Florida or New Jersey?
New Jersey.
Correct. Which famous theater actor created characters like Curry Spice, Ribena Berry, and YB? Was it Marion de Cruz or Joe Cucatas?
Joe Cucanus.
The now extinct dodo bird was native to which island in the Indian Ocean? Was it Madagascar or Mauritius?
Mauritius.
Which show includes a barber and meat pies? Sweeney Todd or Jekyll and Hyde?
Sweeney Todd.
How many red stripes are there on the national flag of Puerto Rico? 3 or 5?
Puerto Rico.
Mm.
Puerto Rico. 5.
It's a 3. Actor Will Wheaton used to be part of which popular sci-fi TV series? Firefly or Star Trek?
Firefly.
It's the other one. Which U.S. state is known as the Beaver State, Washington or Oregon?
Washington.
Uh-oh.
Again. Oh, Lamar.
Raven describes what type of color, red or black?
Black.
What was Joanna Bessie's character's first name in Kopitiam? Was it Marie or Claire?
Marie.
What is zoophobia a fear of?
Zoophobia? A fear of?
Mm-hmm. You can skip if you like.
Yeah. Skip.
All right, it's animals. Complete this famous movie line. All work and no play makes Jack a dull
boy.
Which planet is closest to Earth, Mars or Venus?
Venus.
The Eurasian Basin is part of which ocean? Pacific Ocean or the Arctic Ocean?
The what basin?
The Eurasian Basin.
Mm-hmm.
Is part of which ocean? Pacific Ocean or the Arctic Ocean?
Pacific Ocean.
It's the other one. I'll give you one final question, though. What exactly is edamame? Is it flour or vegetable?
Vegetable.
Yes, indeed. Yes. Okay, we are out of time, folks. We'll be right back to find out how well he did just after these messages. Please, don't go anywhere. BFM 89.9, The Business Station. It is that time of night. I'm Rich Bradbury.
I'm Kwa Jin Han.
And Mano Maniam.
So, just before the break, there was quite a few dings, right?
There was a lot of dings.
But there was also some head scratching and some sounds of frustration and one thing or another. So, Mano, what we'll do is we'll go through some of the questions you got wrong. So, Ophidian relates to which creature? It is snakes. How many red stripes are there on the national flag of Puerto Rico? There are three. Actor Will Wheaton used to be part of which popular sci-fi TV series? It was Star Trek. Which U.S. state is known as the Beaver State, Washington or Oregon? It is Oregon. And zoophobia is a fear of animals. So, with that being said, we have a little drum roll. Sounds like this. Mano Maniam, I'm happy to announce that you have scored 17 points.
That's good.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah, that's
pretty good.
Of the five wrong answers, I know at the time when I said it,
right,
my mind was going in one direction and the other.
Understand? Understand?
Such is life.
Right.
Such is life.
Yeah, where the person behind the person wants to go somewhere, but the person in front of the person goes the other direction.
Happens all the time. Right. So, Mano, what are you up to next? Yes. Where can we see you next? You know, new performances coming up? Anything? Workshops?
Oh, just finished one and a workshop. And haven't got anything worked out for the rest of this year because I wanted a slack time.
Right.
And what usually happens in our trade is for any particular year, like if you take 2016, 2016 is already cast in stone sometime early 2015 or mid 2015.
Right.
You know, especially if it's a film thing and it's, so people need certain assurances right at the very beginning. So you need to work on the actors and whoever, the cameraman and stuff and stuff. Then once you've got them, then you are on.
Right.
So it takes a long period, really. Uh-huh. Because, and you can't, like in more advanced countries where you could actually just go to the guild or go to the company or you have a production house which can give you an entire package. Mm-hmm. So here you'll have to like get that guy when he's free after his last performance or, you know, the last production year.
Yeah.
And then you sort of like put it all together. And that becomes a little more difficult, and therefore you need a lot more lead time. Or we also have another thing which is very fairly common in our industry, because we are young, we're new, and the tribe is still a very small
like a community,
a small community. It hasn't actually grown that big yet.
Yeah.
And that we can go into that for another time, but the point is that we have to commit ourselves, and sometimes at the last minute things change.
All right.
That's also possible.
So okay.
Okay.
I haven't got anything working, but I'm quite used to like, hey, somebody couldn't turn up, you know, can you do it tomorrow?
Yeah, that happens all the time.
That happens all the time.
It's a favor, favor for a friend. Yeah.
Right.
Right. Yeah. We have no budget. That's another one I hear.
Yeah. We have no budget, you know.
Yeah.
But we can take you out for lunch.
Right.
Right. Then you get a nasi bungkus.
Yeah. That's actually how I got Mano to voice my show, actually.
Okay, we're almost out of time. So, Janan, you have a fact for me for today.
Yes, I do have a fact. And the fact is, one dog year, like how many years do you think like a dog year is?
I had somebody told me it was 7 years.
Yeah, right. We always know it as 7, right?
Right.
But it's not actually equivalent to 7.
Okay.
Because dogs age differently depending on their size.
Ah, because it would depend on the size of their heart.
Yeah.
Right. So the, how many heartbeats, right?
Cause yeah, because like a small dog would have like a much faster like a heart rate than a big dog.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
My fact is, whilst you sleep, your brain filters out noises that might wake you up if it doesn't think you're in danger.
Oh, wow.
All right. Clever.
It's autopilot.
All right. This is it. Lizard brain.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mano, thank you very much for coming. Absolute
Welcome.
Pleasure to meet you.
Thank you very much for having
it's
me.
It's good to see you again, Mano. Ah.
Hey, Jalan. It's always good to see you, man.
Can you say my name just one more time, Mano?
Hi, Jalan.
Oh, right. It has been that time of night. I've been Rich Bradbury.
I'm Jen Han.
I'm Mano William.
Good night, folks.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.